I wonder where God is in this story. I wonder where you are in this story. This is one of the wondering statements posed after sharing a biblical or sacred story in godly play. 8 years ago, my congregation at the time sent me to an intensive godly play weekend. I had been recently hired to give their godly play program life and energy, and I had never heard a story before in my life. During that weekend, I was immersed in godly play. The storytelling, the how-tos, the whys, and the wonder. During that weekend, I did what I was there to do. I mentally charted how we were going to renew our godly play program, and I began to implement that when I got back. And during that weekend, my faith life changed forever. In godly play, you hear our sacred stories, and then you wonder about them. You did not memorize them or learn the three most important points Jesus wanted you to get today. You wonder where you are in this story. You wonder what part is most important. You wonder what part you think could be left out. You wonder. In wondering, there is no right or wrong, and you can hold different opinions together in tension. And as you wonder, you internalize our faith community's stories in a way that has the potential to change you. For me personally, wonder released me from today's culture of placing value on the quantity of what you know. It released me from the thought that I needed to memorize our Bible line and verse, which I'm horrible at. But it allowed me to hear and internalize the Bible in a way that related to our community and my life. Wonder freed me to love our sacred stories and to let those stories illuminate life. And in this wonder, I feel a nearing to the sense of the holy. I think Mark, whose gospel we've read for many, many, many weeks now, would agree with this method. If you read Mark in one sitting, it becomes very clear that Mark wrote to challenge his listeners or his readers to reflect on their own lives in the context of Jesus' life and ministry. Today, I wonder where you are in Mark's gospel. A little context on today's passage. Jesus and his disciples have been on the road for what seems like forever, weeks and weeks heading toward Jerusalem. Just before today's passage, Jesus has announced to his followers, his disciples, what's going to go down in Jerusalem when they get there, and the news isn't good. Jesus says, "When I get there, I will be mocked and suffer. I will be killed, and on the third day, I will rise again." This is the third time in Mark that Jesus has told his disciples this message. The 12 are Jesus' first disciples, his first followers. At this point in the sacred story, they get that he is the Christ. They have seen firsthand his miracles. They have heard firsthand his teachings over and over. They get that he is the real deal. They have no grasp of what that means. James and John's response to Jesus' foretelling of suffering and death and resurrection is, "Will you give us something before we tell you what it is?" Jesus is understandably a little bit wary of this question, and he asks for clarification. James and John ask for honor. They ask for glory. They ask to sit at Jesus' right and left hand. They don't get it. Jesus answers, "It is not for me to determine. It is for those whom that place is already set." Each of the three times Jesus has spoken of his missional identity, of suffering, death, and resurrection, the disciples don't get it. Each time Jesus, I imagine with a chagrin, teaches them again. Each time he instructs them again on what a life following him really means. "You will drink my cup. You will be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. My leadership is not about prestige. It's about servanthood. To lead, you must serve." Mark wrote to challenge his listeners to reflect on their lives in the context of Jesus' life and ministry. I wonder where you are in this story. As I wonder, I note Mark is darkly funny about humanity. His characters are human just as we are. They give us the freedom to ask questions. They give us the freedom to realize that we too are Jesus' followers despite our faults. And if I am honest with myself, I am right there with James and John. I get that Jesus is the real deal. I want to follow him. And on a good day, I do, sort of. On an average day, when I feel fear like they did, when I hear of an uncertain future, my instinct is to look for security and certainty. It's easier. But also, just like James and John and the other 10, I will not find that type of security following Jesus. In wondering, I hear Jesus' words of servant leadership spoken to me, to us. And I wonder what that looks like. I don't know the answer, but I know to hold the question and the thought as I go about my week. And holding that question brings life as I begin to answer it. In wondering, Jesus' disciples invite us to ask the questions and live the Christian paradox, trying to follow Jesus, coming up short, and trying again. Just as we are asked in our baptismal covenant, whenever you fall into sin, will you repent and return to the Lord? We answer, "I will," with God's help. In wondering, we reorient ourselves over and over to a life following Jesus. A bit of a spoiler alert on how this story turns out. Despite the disciples' doubts, despite their lack of understanding, despite their questions, they follow Jesus to Jerusalem. Jesus suffers. Jesus dies. On the third day, he rises again. I wonder where you are in this story.